preach on singing for the Lord. And most of you all know that I grew up singing a lot. I was a song leader at Pleasant Hill for a number of years, and well, I tried to sing, lead singing, and I'll put trying there as a big thing. I never really accomplished much. I don't have the voice, really, to lead singing. It's not one that can reach very high, and Brother Cullen sings a lot of songs that have a lot of high tenor notes in them, and I just can't get those notes. But I want to say tonight that there is a reason that we sing. Most of the time, people come into our churches, and they hear us sing these songs, and they think, man, those are tired old songs. But there's actually meaning behind the reason that we sing. I believe very much so that singing is an integral part of our services to the King. I believe it's a very important part of our worship to the only God that deserves to be worshipped. There's a lot of things. I was listening to the radio this afternoon as I was going to get some lunch, and there was a couple songs that came on the radio, and maybe I shouldn't have been listening to the radio station that I was, but I thought about how there's all kinds of songs in the world, but there's many songs that we can give and raise our voices to the King, and I'm so glad tonight that I have a reason to sing. I'm glad that I have a reason to sing. If you'll turn with us in your scriptures to the 1 Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians in the 14th chapter. Now, we're not going to stay here long, but we're going to set this up for the reason that we sing. We're going to go back to the Old Testament. If the Lord will be our helper tonight, we're going to explain why we do use instruments in our church, if God will help us. I was reading earlier this week, I read an article, and it was by another denomination, and it said, you can't preach a sermon about instrumental music in the church. But I beg to differ that you can. I believe very much so that instrumental music has a place in our church. I believe that God gets honor and glory when people play pianos and different instruments, when they play them in the Spirit. I believe very much so that God gets honor and glory from the talents that He gives His people. And I very much believe tonight that God gives talents to those that have been saved. And I believe when He gives us those talents, He gives them to us so that we might uplift Him and glorify His church and His cause. And I'm thankful that He gives people talents. Sometimes I think that I'm the one that didn't get very many, but I'm thankful that God does give talents to those that have been saved by the grace of God. There's many people tonight that have many different talents that have never stepped foot in a church, and bless their hearts, they'd be able to use their gift to glorify God in a great way if they would just serve the Lord. But 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and the 15th verse says this, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." The claim tonight, and I want you to remember that verse of Scripture, the claim tonight is that the New Testament does not talk about instrumental music. And I will agree to a point that it doesn't talk about instruments in the New Testament. It does talk about them in the Old Testament, and if you'll turn with us to Psalms, and I believe it would be the 95th division, and it talks about singing praises to the Lord. Now, they did use instruments in the Old Testament. They used harps and psalteries and different things to accompany their psalms. And psalms are literally just songs that were sung by those in that time period. Now, I have often tried to sit around and I've tried to open up this book and divide these things into songs and try to think maybe what kind of music went along with them. I don't necessarily think that they were sung in the four-part harmony that most Baptist churches sing their songs, but I very much believe those that sang these songs, those that had these songs, they were written by a person that truly knew God, and the reason that they could sing them the way that they did is because God got honor and glory, and in order for Him to get honor and glory, He had to be the one to give them to those people. I believe very much so, very much, that everything that's between these leather bindings tonight, God inspired. And I believe He inspired the writers of these Psalms to sing praises unto the Lord. And if they could do that in the Old Testament, surely, surely we can do that tonight. The first verse says, "O come, and let us sing unto the Lord, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation, and let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is our great God, and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and the hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice. When it says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. I know you've heard the joke before when people are talking about singing. Well, definitely I make a joyful noise. And most of the time, I'm going to say tonight, singing doesn't have to be about the voice that we use. It's not about the singing voice that you and I have. It comes from somewhere far greater than just this voice that I have. If you hear me sing very often, I don't have the greatest singing voice. But when we sing in God's Spirit, when we sing in a way that uplifts God, I believe very much so. It doesn't matter about the voice that accompanies it, but it matters in the mode that we do it. Anything that we do for God, anything that we do in the service for the kingdom, I believe must be done in the right frame of mind. It must be done in the right frame of heart. And when we come together and sing these songs of Zion, I believe that God is lifted up, and I'm so thankful tonight that God has inspired men to write these songs. There are many songs that I enjoy tonight, and I guess one of my most favorite is What a Day That Will Be. Somebody captured a long time ago about a time when God was coming back to gather His children home. What a day it will be. It's nothing that I can explain, but those writers who have imaginations far greater than I do, they were able to pin them down. And they were able to describe a day when God was coming back, and I'm so glad tonight that we're able to give God honor and glory in that way. I'm so glad tonight that it's not about what we can do, and it's not about us. I've heard a lot of singing. I've been in a lot of places where people were singing. And I've heard some people that had beautiful voices, and there was no spirit in it. And I've been to other places and I've heard other people sing, and man, they couldn't hit a lick at singing for nothing. But when God was in it, when God filled their spirit, I believe very much so, it didn't become about the voice, it became about who they were singing about. And I believe that's what the psalmist was trying to get across. He said, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all kings, above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. O come, and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Now I'm going to say tonight, if there's anybody that has ever been worthy of worship by us, and I want to mention this also, our worship is imperfect. There's nothing about us that is perfect, except if you've been sealed by the grace of God, and that's perfection. And I believe very much so, when we begin to sing these songs, it doesn't come from our heads or our minds, it must come from our soul. It must come from a place where God is the center of everything. You know, there's not everyone is going to be called to preach. There will be men that will be called out to preach the gospel. I believe that. But not everybody can do that. We don't believe that women are able to preach. They're not given that gift. But I believe the one thing that everybody in God's service can do is sing. I believe every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, we all have a job to do. And as we preach this morning about following the Lord, I believe very much so that as our job is to worship the one true Creator, He deserves to be worshipped. If He has saved your soul, you have a reason to sing. And I want to read a few verses of Scripture over in the 40th division of the Psalms. And this is a Psalm of David. It says, to the chief musician. And if you need a reason to sing tonight, if you're saved and you think you need a reason to sing to God, this is the reason. The night that I was lost and undone without God, I didn't have a reason to sing. I was bound for a devil's hell on my way to a place of perfect destruction. But the night that God saved me, He took out something that hurt and He placed peace in. And He gave me a reason to sing for Him. Even if it wasn't beautiful, He gave me a reason to sing. First verse says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry.
He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it, and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned upon in order unto thee. If I would declare, speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offering thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume, the book, it is written of me. I delight to do the will, O my God. Yea, the law is within my heart. And I have preached the righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. The writer here was talking about a time when he was in deep, deep trouble. I don't know about you, and I believe every lost person that has been saved, they got in trouble. We talk many, many times about no conviction, no conversion. No conviction, no salvation. Many of us can talk about a time when we were lost and undone without God. We know what that feels like. And there's a lot of songs that we sing. I did mention that one of my favorite songs to sing when a person is kneeling in prayer asking God to save them is, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior." Why is that? Because we're begging God to not pass us. We don't want God to forget about us and leave us in our state of unbelief. We don't want to leave that position that we're in and die and go to hell. Because we know that those that are lost, that is exactly where they're going. And I believe David knew this. We read in the 116th Psalm, and I don't necessarily know that David wrote that. But I come to this conclusion, the writer of that knew something about hell. And he knew there were flames. That doesn't make me want to sing very much. That doesn't make me very happy inside to think about a place called hell. But the moment that God saved us, the moment that He gave us peace, He gave us something that was worth singing about. He gave us something that is far greater than can ever be known without it. People today, they don't know the first thing about true heaven-sent heartfelt salvation. And I believe very much so they're trying to sing about something they don't understand. I love nothing more than to hear somebody that can stand and they can sing a song and know just exactly why that they are singing. It doesn't matter about the music. But if you know what you're singing about, it makes it that much more beautiful. When it talks about the new song, salvation is new. We've never experienced it before. Before He saves our soul, it's something that we have no dealings with. But the moment that it happens, it makes our heart cry out and sing to God. It makes us want to rejoice. It makes us want to shout in some cases. I've seen a lot of people that have began to worship the Lord and God came by and an old song be sung. And the Spirit of God move on those people and they begin to shout the praises of God. I very much believe tonight that that is a form of worship to the Lord God Almighty. I believe when we come together to worship the Lord, we need to be thinking about that new song that God has put in our mouth. It says it's a praise unto our God, and many shall see it, and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I don't know if you all remember this, but a few months ago, we'd sang a song, a new song, here at Mount Calvary, one that I didn't know. I think it was Win the Lost at Any Cost. And I was going through Walmart. It was about 10, 11 o'clock at night. And I was going through Walmart, and that song was just in my mind. And I was just singing Win the Lost at Any Cost just as loud as I could. Didn't really even think there was anybody around me. Going to Franklin Walmart at 12 o'clock at night, really don't think there's going to be anybody there. But I was going up to the milk cooler, and I was still singing. And there was a lady there. Boy, I got up there, and I was still just singing away, and she turned around and looked at me with the awfulest look that there ever has been. And I think I got to the point, a part where it says, go out and win, bring them to him. I was singing that part, and I was just singing with everything I had. And she gave me a look like, what is this fool doing? What kind of song is he singing? We hear all about the songs on the radio station and the television, but I'm telling you tonight, the songs that need to come from a saved person's mouth are ones that uplift the Lord. Now, I'm not hard-nosed to believe that everything you turn on the radio is bad. I'm not hard-nosed enough to believe that. But I believe very much so the things that proceed from a saved person's mouth should give honor and glory to the Lord. I don't know that woman. I may never see her again, but I guarantee you she probably went outside and told her husband there was somebody in there singing an old song that we don't sing anymore. I want to say this as well. I'm not one that believes we have to sing just the hymns out of the hymn book. I love some of the gospel music that's out there. I love Southern gospel music. I love contemporary Christian music. If it's about God, I'm all for it. I love to sing about how good that He's been to me. I'm going to say tonight, though, that I believe the music that comes in our church must give honor and glory to God. Everything about this worship service, everything about what we do here should give honor and glory to God. If it does not, it has no place in the Lord's house. Everything that we do. Why is that, preacher? Why should we worry about what song in our churches? I'm going to say today we need to sing songs that are biblically based. They need to have some scripture about them. They need to have some truth about them, because the gospel can even go out through a song. I don't believe you can preach the gospel through singing, but I believe there's many times that an old song has touched somebody's heart. If you've heard my testimony, and I don't know if I've ever told this here, but the night that I got saved, I looked up into the women corner, and those old women were just singing at the top of their lungs about a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and I knew just exactly where I was going. Well, I can tell you there's an old lady that sat in there regularly. She didn't have a voice for anything. But the moment that I got saved, I looked up and I thought she was the best singer there ever had been. Why, she could have joined the choir of everybody in the United States that has a beautiful voice. I thought she was great because a new song had come into my heart and I knew how to sing it. I knew where she was coming from. Brothers and sisters, it's time as God's people that we give honor and glory to God. It's time that we begin to praise God again. I believe very much so we've forgotten how to praise God. We've forgotten that God is deserving of praise. There's nothing else that we can praise like we can praise God. I want to turn now to the book of Acts. And I want to talk about Paul and Silas and them being thrown in jail. Why, here they were, thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. Acts 16th chapter in the 25th verse. Here they were, thrown in jail, been preaching the gospel. Oh, and my guess is Paul and Silas had been probably talking to some of those around. They'd probably been telling them about why they'd been thrown in there. I've never been in jail, so I don't know what they talk about. But I can only imagine what was going on. But it says in the 25th verse of the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. No doubt it was different singing than they had ever heard. I have been in places where, to be honest with you, there was no spirit in the singing. You could just tell there was no spirit in it. The people didn't know what they were singing about, so there's no way that the singing could have been spiritual. But I will begin to say tonight that I believe that Paul and Silas, I believe they knew what they were singing about. So no doubt, to those prisoners that were there, it sounded differently. And I believe as they began to sing, the power of God fell upon that old jail. You think about that. They prayed to the Lord at midnight. And I'm going to say tonight, our prayers need to honor and glorify God. It's not about what we say. It's not about how we say it. I've heard people that could pray just the most beautiful prayers. And I thought, man, if I could just get as close to God as they did, I'd be doing pretty good. Beautiful prayers. But I guarantee you, Paul and Silas prayed, and they prayed earnestly. And then they began to praise God. Here they were, sitting in jail, thrown in there, preaching the gospel, just tossed right in the jailhouse. And they began to sing praises to God. Now, I don't know about the rest of you all, but if I was thrown in jail, I'd probably be crying and asking them to let me out of there. Paul and Silas didn't care. Paul and Silas used it as another opportunity to spread the gospel. They began to sing, and the power of God fell upon the jail, and I believe the doors just burst wide open. Nobody even laughed. My guess is they wanted to hear what Paul and Silas had to say. They wanted to hear about this God that they were singing about. I have heard some churches that, man, when I was lost, my grandparents would say, "We're going to such and such church," and I was just dreading it before I ever got there. They could just sing the power of God down. Our worship services need that. They need singing that is right in line with how the service needs to go. Brother Colin gets it right almost all of the time, singing songs that go hand in hand with what the Scriptures are. The sermon that I have, and I never discuss with him about what I'm going to preach. I'm glad when God begins to intertwine things so that God's Word and the songs and the service, they all just go hand in hand. When it happens like that, that is a blessing from God Himself. But as the gates, as the bars of the jail were opened, nobody left. The prison guard, he was a little scared. He was going to fall on his sword because he knew if they had gotten there that morning and seen all of those doors open and all the prisoners gone, he was done for. But I believe even the prison guard himself, he heard them singing. It had to have rang out through the jail. And as he heard it, I believe he heard the gospel in their praying and their singing and in their talks to those other people. You know what happened to the prison guard? He got saved. I believe there is power when a Christian, when a saved person does things when it uplifts God. I believe that. I believe when a church comes together and they sing in the Spirit. And I read that verse in Corinthians because it says, "I will pray in the Spirit in understanding. And I will sing in the Spirit in understanding." I believe when a church sings in the Spirit, and everything about us must be Spirit-led. Everything. I believe from the prayers that are prayed, the testimonies that are told, the songs that are sang, to the sermon that's preached, to whether or not we have a Christian handshake, everything about it should be Spirit-led. And when God becomes the center of those things, when God becomes about all of it, it can be a very, very beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, I told you tonight that I was going to try to eliminate the theory of instrumental music in our churches. Some people say that we shouldn't have them. There is a group of people tonight that will say, if you have instrumental music in your church, you're not right. I just told you, I read the article about how you couldn't preach a sermon that talked about instrumental music. I'm going to say tonight, in the New Testament, I can't find one place where it says it's all right to use instruments in our churches. On the same hand, I can't find one place where it says not to use instrumental music in our churches. Now, some people will say, because in the Old Testament they were under the old law, the old way of worship was cast down. So in their eyes, they shouldn't be praising God. And many times, they begin to praise God through the use of instrumental music. And I believe very much so that God gives people the talent to use so that they can uplift Him. I believe also that if it was good enough for those in the Old Testament, before God's church was ever established, why, it's good enough for us today. People today want to try to take the Old Testament out, and they want to say everything in there isn't good. Brothers and sisters, I love the Old Testament of the Bible. There's a lot in there that we wouldn't know if it were not there. People say you're a New Testament church, therefore you've got to stand on New Testament principles. You know what happens with this Bible? It harmonizes from the front to the back. When it says they sang songs in the Spirit, I believe very much so that you can take a piano player, and I believe Sister Faye does a wonderful job of playing the piano in the Spirit of God. You say, preacher, you have lost your ever-loving mind to think that a piano player can play in the Spirit. I've heard many good piano players that sit down behind one of those, and just in the beautiful music that they play, you can feel God in those things. You can feel His Spirit move in those things. I'm going to say today that the tradition of not having it has no control over the tradition of having it. You can worship God with one, or you can worship God without one. A lot of times I'll be singing in the car and you probably wouldn't want to hear it, and maybe nobody else would ever get anything out of it. But if my soul is crying out to the Lord, and if it's giving God honor and glory, and if it's praising the Lord, I don't care if you've got a guitar or a drum set, whatever it is. As long as God is in the center of it, as long as God is ordaining it, I believe that God can use it for His honor and His glory. And we were talking a little bit before church about the use of a baptistry. Now, some people get off and they'll say, well, can't use one. The Scriptures doesn't say to use one. Well, in the same turn, they go down in there and they say, well, it's got to have running water. But you can't find that in the Scriptures. But it does tell us the mode that we should baptize in. And I believe tonight that when God tells us to worship Him, He tells us to worship Him in the Spirit and in the truth. I believe with all of my heart that when we worship God and we do it in the right way, it doesn't matter how we do it. We could sit here silently for an hour and a half and never say a word and give God honor and glory, because our spirit will bear witness with His Spirit that we are the children of God. I believe that. While Paul and Silas could have sat there, and I don't know if they had anything that they were using as an instrument there. Probably not. But they could have. People say, well, you've got to take the Scriptures literally. And we do take them literally. But anybody that would believe that instrumental music would keep a person out of heaven is a blasphemer and a liar. Brothers and sisters, the mode in which we worship must not come from how men think we ought to worship or how other people think we ought to worship. The way that we worship should come from God Himself. Because as I read for you tonight, He is worthy to be praised. Has He not done great things for us? I want to mention this, and I'm going to try to close in just a few moments of time. When I got up tonight, I didn't think I'd preach very long at all, and I already went over how long that I thought I would, but when God's using us, we've got to keep going. But I want to try to close with this thought. It talks about the new song in the Old Testament. And I believe that we have a new song that we sing in this world. And I believe that people will hear it. And if they'll hear it and they'll listen to what God has done to us, and I believe that new song can come out when we begin to tell people about God. They can see that in us. They know something's different. And I want to tell you about a new song that we'll sing when we get to heaven. Why, I believe that the Scriptures teach us that there'll be a song that the angels themselves cannot sing. It's one they don't know anything about. They don't know about the travel from nature to grace, the travel from a state of being lost and undone without God to a place where we have been redeemed by His precious blood. They don't know anything about that. The angels in heaven have never had to go through that, but you and I have. And I believe there's an angel choir, angel band there. And I believe someday that when we all get to heaven and we sing the song, when we all get to heaven, or when all of God's singers, when they get home, brothers and sisters, it'll be the most beautiful singing that there ever has been. And why is that? You want to talk about perfect worship. Anywhere that I am, where I'm at, it's not perfect. I'm not perfect. There's nothing about me that is perfect except what God done for me the night that He saved my soul. So any way that I worship, it will never be perfect here.
But when we get to heaven and have our new body, when we have finally entered the kingdom of heaven, and when we have finally seen the one that has saved our soul will sing to its Creator. The one that has saved it from a devil's hell, a place that we'll never go from. I believe if there's ever been a song that's close to the one that will sing in heaven, and I can almost say that that's not the song that we'll sing. But it's one that we sang today as we were coming around to shake hands for about the 15th time. Amazing Grace. It is by God's grace that we have been saved. And it's by His grace that we will be there. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you tonight, I believe that this church sings beautifully. I was kidding around with Sister Stella this afternoon, and I said, I was missing you singing in an English accent this morning at church. I said, I would have taken you singing in that if you'd just felt like being there. And I told her, I said, we really missed you doing that. And if you will remember, she sat over here one night on a Sunday evening and she began to sing like that. And I heard it sitting up here. And I about doubled over in laughter because I knew that there was nobody here that could sing or talk in an English accent. And I look over and she's just singing away, just singing like Stella would. And you know what Stella said? She said, it doesn't matter in what voice that I sing in, but it matters about the one that I'm singing to. It matters about the one that I'm glorifying. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter how beautiful you sing or how terrible that it is. What matters is what mode that we do sing in, what mode that we do worship in. I've seen some people that didn't have any more to say than thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And brothers and sisters, it was the most beautiful thing that there ever has been. I've heard people that didn't have the best singing voice, but when they began to give honor and glory to the God, it was the most beautiful thing that I'd ever heard. I want to close with this. There was a lady, Pleasant Grove Missionary Baptist Church, and she no longer is alive now. And we were down there for a revival a few years ago. And she got up and she began to sing, God Delivers Again. The lady, she told me her story after church, and it became very real to me why she could sing that song, and it has such a beautiful context to it. Now, she didn't have the best singing voice, but when she got to the part, God Delivers Again. She had grown up in a place that was very hard. She grew up in a place that didn't teach about the true plan of salvation. And she said, when God saved my soul, He delivered for me the first time. And she was on up in years and she said, many, many times He's delivered for me down through the years. He saved my family. He saved my husband. He saved my children. And she said, how can I, when God calls on me, when God leads me to sing, how can I keep from praising my God? Brothers and sisters, how can we keep from praising the Lord tonight? That's my message. There's a reason that we sing. There's a reason that we sing. And I hope and pray that everyone here tonight has a reason that they sing. May God bless you is our prayer.